brick walls to go sit down. No rush. Take your time. We got all day. We're good. I got like 20 pages of notes, and that's unusual. So we're gonna have plenty of time. Let's just. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens today. Probably was gonna go real quick. We'll be all right. Glory to God. Hey, I just want to pray real quick, and we're gonna jump into this. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to speak about your word. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for the atmosphere in this place. Thank you for the atmosphere of healing and your presence, God, your joy, your peace, your hope. Man, we feel it. It's strong. It's resonating in this place. It's been raining down from the very beginning when I stepped into this place this morning, turning everything on. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for what you're going to do, what you've already been doing, Lord. I pray as we dive into your scripture, God, you speak to us individually, God. Speak to our hearts, God. Let it resonate into our spirits, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about something that I really enjoy talking about today.
All right.
Woo. I really like talking about it, and that's money. I like talking. You could ask my kids. I'm always on them about budget, budget, budget. Like, I charge them rent. Like, if you over 18 and you got a job, even if you over 18 and you don't got a job, you're paying rent one way or the other. All right? People need to learn how to do money. Okay? And it's important we know what the Word of God says about money. Right? Okay? And so we already took up one offering. I might get one ready for one at the end after this. Be all right, whatever. We'll see what the Lord does. I'm just kidding. Okay, so I'm going to be honest with you. I've changed my tune just a little bit, Miss North. I've changed it. I've steered away from it because of society, Miss North. I'm coming out and I'm going to say it. I'm going to be bold about it. But Miss North, I am a prosperity preacher. All right? See, I believe in prosperity. I believe what the Word of God says about finances, okay? And so today, look at my title. Yes, this is a prosperity message. I've been wanting to talk about this for a while. I promise you that, okay? I believe what the Word of God tells us about finances. But society made prosperity a dirty word. They made it sound bad because we've got a couple of preachers that's all they preach about is money, 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 money. Every time you turn their messages on, it's mostly about finances. And so what happens is because of these guys and then you got the ones that are really way out there that are asking, saying, you know, prophesying about giving extra and all this kind of stuff and the thus saith the Lord kind of stuff. You know, it puts a bad taste in your mouth when it comes to that. All right? But society's made it even look worse because they dog these pastors that are millionaires. Hey, can I be honest with you? If I wrote a book and I made millions of dollars on that book, I'm just going to be really perfectly honest with you. If I made me... Was that a shadow? That was spook. I thought that was like a mouse or something. Sorry. Come back here. I'm just going to be real with you, and I'm going to be completely honest. Here's what I would do. And this is what don't be churchy when I say that. Y'all know y'all think about the same thing if y'all won the lottery, okay? But I think of this. If I were to write a book and I had a couple million dollars from this book, I am going to go buy a really nice boat, okay? Just being real with you, okay? I'm going to pay off all my debt. Of course, I'll pay my tithes. I'll give some more to the church, but I'm going to buy a big old boat. Okay? Just being real with you. Okay? And I'm pretty sure y'all probably end up doing the same thing. I bet Brother North will go and buy the boat. All right? Because he's going to be like, I'm going to take my family. Right? Okay. Okay, maybe not a boat, but something pretty cool. Something pretty cool. I do believe in prosperity from the Word of God. And here's what happens is this, is you have a lot of preachers that really talk about prosperity a lot. Okay? And there was a message that I shared, that I didn't share, Tina Thomas shared years ago about the lenses that we look through. And when I hear these pastors preaching, and that's all they talk about is prosperity and finances and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, that's all I think of is those guys are just looking through the lens of finances. And so they're reading the Word of God, and any scriptures that they're seeing is they're looking through the lens of finances. So they're pulling different scriptures, and they say, well, that could fit sort of, kind of, so they're going to use it, okay? But let's just be real, because we all do this, okay? Let me break this down for you, okay? Baptists, guess what? They look through a lens of that Baptist belief. Guess what? We're charismatic. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the power. We believe in the gifts. And so we do look through that lens, through that, as a charismatic church. So we look through the lenses. And so when we're going through scriptures, now, we preach it, and a lot of other churches do. We preach this, what the Word says. But we still have that lens. This is what we believe, what the Scripture says. We have a lot of different theological differences. My best friend's Baptist. We don't see eye to eye on it. He has his lenses through this. I have a lens through this. Are y'all following me? Okay? All right. Prosperity preachers do the same thing. They look through the lenses of this prosperity. We got other pastors that we've heard about them, and that it's all about the blue moon and the red moons and the stars and the skies and this and that and all this kind of hoopla, okay? And that's the lenses that they're reading the scriptures through, okay? I'm not a big fan of Joel Osteen as far as the style of preaching, but he has a lenses of encouragement and happy-go-lucky, so he reads the scriptures that way. Yeah. You picking up what I'm laying down? When it comes to finances, guess what? We tend to do the same thing. We read scripture through a lens of a specific thing that we have already kind of a structure we've heard, and we look at it through this way. Some people look through the lenses of, I don't believe in tithing, and so I read the scripture based on that lens. I believe in tithing, so I'm reading the scripture based on that lens. I believe in giving, or I don't believe in giving, so you read the scripture through that lens. We all do it, okay? What I want to do something with you this morning, I want to encourage this. You do you, but I just want to encourage this, is let's take those lenses off today, okay? And let's just look at what the scripture says on finances and giving and tithing, okay? Let's look what the Word says. This is not Brandon Opinions chapter 2. This is what the Word says. I've got a lot of scripture, okay, that I want to go through today. I believe 100%, man, that God wants us to be prosperous. I believe it from the bosom of my body. As when I read the Word, I see the scriptures. There's no any other way to interpret it, okay? And so I want to look at these scriptures today. But I just want to encourage you this morning, as we dive into this, let's take the lenses off and just look at what the scripture says. I want to encourage you. I'm going to take some time. I'm not going to push through this. I want to walk through it this morning. I want us to look at the scriptures as we go through every single one. I want to encourage you to take every single scripture down. Go home and you do your own study on this. Okay? Take some time this week. Take some time in the next few weeks. I want you to understand what the scripture says about finances. So I'm going to touch on these things. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about what all these scriptures are saying. I've got four lessons in here. The scripture has a lot of stuff in here, a lot of things. I've just got four of them that I want to talk about, kind of hit the top main ones, okay? The first verse I want us to go to is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is a very common passage. It's very, I've preached on it a lot. I've talked about it a lot when it comes to offering, but it's in a very, it's a beautiful passage on finances that Paul gives us. And I want to read two verses, and then we're going to land on one. First verse, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse, next verse. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There's a key word in both of these that I need y'all to understand and get really good a hold of. The verse 7, Paul says a word in there that really is a vital aspect of our lives about being prosperous. It says, decided. What you have pre-planned to give. What you have, in other words, what you have budgeted to give. What you have already pre-planned, what you have decided in your heart when you get your check, this is already, I've set this aside, this is what I've decided in my heart to give. Now right here, right there, you should throw out those thus saith the Lord people that come out and prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, give $5,000. I'm telling you, Brother Wallace, thus saith the Lord, you need to give $5,000 and your family's going to be saved. Brother, if you haven't already had that on your spirit to be doing that, you should throw that out the window, okay? All right? Now, here's the deal. The difference, though, too, is this. Let's say Brother Wallace has already had that in his spirit, and he has already decided in his heart, and he's been looking for an opportunity to give. That's different. He says, Paul says, what you decided in your heart to give, that's what you need to give. Not because the pastor is pressuring you, not because he's saying, thus saith the Lord. You need to do what God, what you and God have already talked about. Okay? That's it. I've had so many times where pastors are coming up and counting money in front of everybody and tell them, you need to give this, you need to give that. I don't believe in that. What y'all going to give at the beginning, that's it. Okay, now we may take up a special offering for a speaker or something. And if Dad wants to take a special offering for me afterwards, I'm fine with that. Okay, but I'm just kidding. All right, but we do take up those special offerings for people. So time to time, we are going to do that and give you opportunity to bless people. But we're not going to sit there and pound you because God takes care of this. Okay, you guys are a giving church. Okay, amen. You've got to learn to do what exactly what you've decided in your heart to do. It's called budgeting. I preach that to my kids. I hammer it. Budget. You tell your money where it's going to go. Dave Ramsey, come on. Okay? What you decided in your heart to give. So the first step that you need to understand about prosperity and learning how to do your money is decide where it's going to go. We're at, right at the top. Don't be pushed. Don't be persuaded. Okay? Make sure you decide. Really off the top. I'm going to budget this. This is what I'm going to give. Now, here's what, just personally, I do. At the very beginning, I have my budget, my spreadsheet. Everybody has different programs that they may use or whatever. I just do an Excel spreadsheet. It's the easiest thing for me, Ms. North. Okay? It's not complicated. I have what I bring in. Then I have my tithes. Then I have food, groceries, or food, gas, blah, 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 after that. And guess what? At the end of the day, I got some money at the end of there, all right? And guess what? I get to do with that money at the end. Lord, thank you for more opportunities where I can give out and do something with that money, okay? I can tell you how many times, and this is going to get into tithing here in just a second. Don't worry, Miss North, that's that last lesson too. Brother Pastor, we're going to talk about tithing. Don't you worry. Okay, we're going to get to tithing in just a second. All right? Budget that money. Tell that money where to go. Okay? You got to use wisdom with your money. All right? Miss North is the number person. She always has been. She's all about it. She's budget. She knows the money. I was in her class with talking about with her math classes. And it was she would just run her mouth, and it would go right over my head because I've always been horrible with math, okay? But I know what tithing does. And I know when I decide in my heart to give, I'm doing the right thing. And that's what Paul's saying here, okay? Okay?
That's good.
Have I talked about that enough? Are you getting that? Okay. All right, Ms. Wallace is like, okay, move on now. All right. Tithing, okay? Let's talk about tithing. Talk about deciding what to give. You need to land somewhere on the tithing, okay? And let's look what the scripture says about tithing, okay? I love Proverbs. Proverbs is wisdom literature. Most of it was written by King Solomon, and then there's others that came in there. It was a wisdom literature movement that was happening, and so a lot of people were doing it. And when you read the Proverbs, it is chock full of wisdom, right? Okay, just chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Powerful truth, right? Okay? Verse 6. In all your ways, I don't have this on the board, so Brother Walls, don't worry about it. Brother North, don't worry about it. I'm going to get to what we need to in a second. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Man, that's powerful. I'm going to receive that, Brother Wallace. I'm going to get that. Proverbs talks about how parenting is a father with his quiver is full. He's a blessed man. Son, I'm a blessed man. Galen, you're a blessed man. Tells us how to correct our children. Says, spare the rod, hate the child. That's wisdom. I'm going to receive that, Miss North. I'm going to do what that says, okay? Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom literature. I'm going to do what the Proverbs tells me to do, right? Verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to grab that one. Verse 8, this will bring wealth to your body and nourishment to the bones. Amen. Fearing the Lord, it's good for your soul. Verse 9, let's look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth or the first fruits of all your crops. Oh, wait, that's tithing. I don't know about that one now. We can't be picky and choosy about the Word of God, can we, Miss North? When the Word of God says this, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Verse, well, what the next one says, and we're going to be talking about this one again, then your barns will be filled with overflowing. I didn't have that on there. It's okay. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Come on. That's powerful. Let's look at the Old Testament just for a few minutes here. Abraham tithed to King Melchizedek. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High and blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him tenth of everything. He tithed. He said, God, I'm honoring you with my finances. I trust you. This is my act of worship. Okay? Then Moses comes on the scene, and then tithing moves into the Levitical law. Then it becomes under the law. Now, under the law, it goes to an action thing. Now, it's a legal thing that you have to do, okay? It doesn't matter if you don't want to or you want to. It doesn't matter whatever your attitude is. You got to tithe. It didn't matter what was in your heart. You had to tithe, okay? Guess what? And also, same thing. We started, that's when the Ten Commandments dropped. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor your mother and father. Don't covet. So tithing was this action thing that was a legal thing that the Israelites had to do. Okay? It was a binding thing. You had to, whether your heart was there or not, you had to tithe. Okay? Let's look into the New Testament. When Jesus comes onto the scene, here's what he says. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. I didn't come to do away with it. I come to fulfill it. Yeah. You still can't murder. Okay, that's still a fact. You still can't. He didn't come and say, now it's okay to commit murder. Now it's okay to steal. No. He's still, nope, that's all still part. You still can't be doing that. But now we're under grace. What happens under grace now, we move into what? The heart. What's in the heart? We're not legally bound to tithe. Okay? When God comes on the scene, he says, you don't have to do that. He says, but here's the thing. Now it's what's in your heart. Now it's a heart thing. All right? So all these things now, so now tithing went from this legal, now it's in the heart. Okay? He didn't say, I'm doing away with it. I'm saying, now it's a heart issue. Now, if you hate your brother, now you're going to be in judgment. Okay? It's not the act of committing adultery. It's the mind. It's the thinking of it. So now we're going deeper. Jesus didn't do away with tithing. Okay? But we're not under the law. We're under grace. Okay? Now that's what's in the heart. Jesus goes on. In Luke 11:42, people say, well, Jesus really didn't talk about tithing, didn't tell us to tithe. Well, let's look at 11:42. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by judgment and the law of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Yeah, tithing is still important, Miss North. It's still important. It's still something that we really do need to be doing. Jesus didn't say, no, you don't have to tithe. He says, no, you just need to have a right heart about it. It's not about coming down here and trying to show that you got all this, you're giving all this money and you got your $100 bill showed out and laid out flat so everybody can see it. That's the wrong heart. You cover that sucker up. That's between you and the Lord. Come on, amen. This is a love offering between you and God. Listen, I don't know what any of you tithe. That's none of my business. The only person that I think Amber knows everything, but she does all the finances. All right, that's the only secret we have. All right, I don't ask because I don't want to know, and I don't care. And even if I did, she wouldn't tell me. All right? I don't know, and I don't care. That's between you and the Lord. This is an honor thing between you and God. That's what tithing is saying, God, I want to honor you. It's a heart thing. God, I want to honor you with my finances. I want to honor you with everything. So what happens when we choose to tithe? What happens when we say, God, I am deciding to do this? I'm deciding to give. I'm choosing to give. This is what happens. We line our lives, our finances with kingdom. You're telling your finances, what is the most important thing in your life? You're helping spread the gospel. Come on Sundays. With tithing, it's to the church. We'll read that in a second. Okay? You're helping spreading the word. You're getting your money out there into kingdom. We're online every Sunday with our messages. Guess what? We're spreading the gospel there. Right? Every Sunday, we're feeding everybody the word. Right? So these lights, you're helping cover that. That's what your tithing is going for. You're not just here. We're spreading it out. We're feeding people. That was the tithe originally was about, is helping the church share the gospel. That's what it was about. Was about feeding the poor. Was about getting it out there. Taking care of the body of Christ. And that's what we do. We support our local food banks. We stopped ours. We felt like it was a season that we needed to do that. So guess what? Now we support others. Other food banks in our community. Guess what? Your tithing goes and we support other outreach events. We're financially supporting these different things. You're doing that. Your tithing is going into that. So that's what it's doing. But guess what the results are? Here's what the results of tithing, based on what his scripture tells us. Okay? Malachi 3:10. We hear that all the time. This is in the Old Testament. So the law is there, but we're not under the law, right? But guess what is still there? His promise. His promise is still there. Listen to what this promise is in the scripture with tithing people. With ones that tithe. bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the church. That there may be food in my house. That there be money here for us to be able to go out and support different areas of ministry here, out there, and in here. Okay, it costs money. We know this. Okay, we just had to drop $15,000, $16,000 for our AC down in the gym. Thank you, God. We had a lot of people donate to that. So your tithing is going to the storehouse to be able to bless our community and support this community, to support the person beside you, to support the person that's across the aisle from you, so that they can hear the word of God here on Sundays. We can have a light. That's what it does. Okay? It says, tithe into the storehouse. That's the church. I've heard messages about that. You can tithe wherever you want. I don't believe in that. The storehouse, that's the church. That there may be food in my house. Now, this is where the word of God is so plain, so blunt. It is the only part in Scripture where it says, try me in this. Says the Lord of hosts. Prove me in this. And it says, here's what's going to happen. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. We're not under the law, but the promise is here. Come on. We're under grace. It's in the heart. But God says, here's the thing. My promise, that never changed one iota. You cannot tell me. I don't care what lens you look through in the Word of God, that tithing doesn't command a blessing. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over and over. I could go for hours saying that. Of the blessings. Of the provision. I've told the story a zillion times about early on in our marriage when Amber came to me and says, why are we so broke? And I said, well, I don't know. And she says, are you tithing? And I said, no. She said, well, there's your problem. And she walked off. Guess who began to make sure we tithed every single Sunday from that point on? Guess we started having some extra money in the bank account. I don't know how it was there. It just shows up. I promise you. That's the word of God. Proverbs 10. So 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of all your crops. Verse 10, here's the promise. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. There's your promise. Tithing does command a blessing. It's a promise. Okay? That's all there is to it. It's not an Old Testament thing. It's a New Testament. It is an Old Testament. It's an Old Testament and New Testament. It's a promise from God's word. Okay? I encourage you, really pray on that for your own self and really grab a hold of God's word with tithing, because I promise you it'll change your life. Okay? And I'm preaching this, and I'm going to say it again at the end, but I need you to understand, we're preaching this not because our money is low here. Dad did not come to me and says, Brandon, we're getting a little bit low on our money. I need you to preach a message about giving. I promise you that. God laid this on my spirit quite a while ago, and I've been just chewing on it. Is it's very important, man, that we line our lives up with what the Word says. Not opinions, not through any of the lenses. Let's just read what the Word says. Lesson 3. You just cannot outgive God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. We've already read it. Let's look at it again. I've talked about this several times already. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That is talking about our finances. It's all there is to it. when you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow generously, and guess what? Generously, it's not a volume number. It's what's in the heart. Jesus gives us that example. He says, what's in your heart? He pointed out that the widow woman. He says, this woman's only given 2 coins, but she's given a whole lot more than all these other guys that are coming in trying to show off what they're giving. She's given out of her heart. She's given out of her life. Come on. So it's not about a dollar amount. It's what's in your heart. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. These are God's promises when it comes to finances. You want to be prosperous in your life, learn to do what God's word tells us to do. Give. 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 Learn to be a giver. Learn to be a giver. Because I promise you, that's where prosperity begins. Okay? That's it. Genesis 8, seed time and harvest. Brother Wallace, you shared on this quite a while ago, and that's what actually began to stir my spirit on this thing. Seed time and harvest. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. It's not going to cease. Seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. When I sow a seed, God's going to do something with it. That's the word. Seed time and harvest is not going to stop. And guess what? Brother Wallace, Brother North, when you've done a garden, have you ever sowed a seed of green beans and you got a watermelon? Exactly. Miss North, what about you? When y'all put in their garden, what have you, zucchini or squat, whatever, what have you done? All of them. Have you ever gotten anything other than what you planted? Why are we expecting anything different? What we sow is what we reap. And that seed time and harvest thing is not going to stop. It's a promise from God. Amen. So when I sow some finances, guess what I'm believing for in the return? It's going to come back in the financial department. Okay? That's it. Now, I'm not sitting there telling you if I sow $100, God's going to give me $200 back. I think that gets a little bit too out there, because that's not what Scripture tells me. I'm just believing that if I sow financially, God's going to bless me financially to help me take care of my needs, to help me with that overflow. So then I can overflow somebody else. Amen. So I can bless somebody else. Because that's our heart, right? Amen. Number 4. This is a practical thing. Okay? Practical. Save. And stop signing at the dotted line. That's a good way to start having some prosperity. Saving and stop signing at the dotted line. Okay? Let's read what Scripture says. Proverbs, wisdom literature. Okay? Chapter 6. Let's read that. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. So it says, look. Listen, you're not being the wisest with your money. Okay? That's why it says, you sluggard. Okay? He says, I need you to get some wisdom here. This is what the word says, okay? He's saying, look, you've got issues. Let's get some wisdom going, okay? He says, consider the ways. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, okay? Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest, okay? So in other words, they save for what's going to come, okay? They save. This is biblical. Okay? All right? So if you got some money in your emergency fund. That's what this is trying to tell us, okay? Get some money for your emergency fund, right? Get some money saved aside, because guess what? You're going to have some rainy days. Your car's going to break down, okay? All right? Now, here's where I need y'all to hear me. You've decided in your heart that that money is set aside for the emergency fund, okay? And you go to a service, and somebody starts pressuring you to give, 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 but you hadn't decided in your heart to do that. I need you to really pray over that, because that money is set aside for the emergency fund, for you. That's because you're doing what the Word says. I need y'all to really pray over that before you. If God's really tugging at your spirit to give it, then give it, okay? Don't tell him no, but be careful there, is what I'm trying to tell you. That money is set aside for us to be for emergency situations. Let's keep reading here. It says, how long will you lie? It gets in your face. He's like, look, how long are you going to be stupid with your finances? How long are you going to be idiotic and make the dumb choices and spend it at whim and do whatever, deciding, choosing what you're going to do with your finances is so important. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And what's going to happen? And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. It's going to hit you, okay? We got to be wise with our money. You got to be wise with your money. If you get a $500 check, bless God, tell that money where to go. You're tithing on it, okay? That's $50, all right? If you need some help with math. Okay? Then you start telling that money, you're deciding where that thing goes. It's budging. That's biblical. That's what the Bible tells us to do. You want to have poverty, have prosperity. You want to have some money in the bank. Do what the Word says. How about that? How about them apples? If you're going to be lazy and spend it where you want to spend it, just let it go where you're just going to go, guess what? You're going to be in some poverty. You're going to make stupid choices with our finances. Well, you're squandering it. Got to be wise with it. Amen. All right. Have I landed on that enough? Let's keep going. That's it on that one. I love that, though. Because he's saying so true. He says, look, man, if you sleep, if you're not acting, if you're not doing these things, you're going to be in poverty. If you're not saving and you're not being wise with your money and deciding where it's going to go, you're going to be in poverty. That's why so many people, and that's why I encourage you so much, please, 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 really make sure it's the Lord. And not being felt out of compulsion, feeling like you're getting pressured to give. When if you go to other services, man, by all means, encourage you, go to other church services. Go to listen to other preaching. But man, when the pastors or somebody's getting up and saying, thus saith the Lord, if you give $5,000 and your family's going to be saved, I need you to just, I encourage you to throw that thing away, okay? Unless you've already been feeling in your spirit to do something with that $5,000, okay? Deciding what you're going to do with those finances. Last thing on this one is Proverbs 22:7. Signing at the dotted line. I need to encourage you in this. Stop. Stop. Okay? Here's what the Word says. Proverbs 22:7. The rich will rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I have had, if you're going to sign, you do as much wisdom, do as much research, do as much dedication as you absolutely possibly can. Make sure you're budgeting. Make sure you can handle it. Make sure you can do it. Make sure you're not stretching yourself. Listen, the Bible tells us that you're going to be a slave to that lender. So that means however long that loan is, you are going to be slave to that loan, okay? That's it. Try stop making payment on your vehicle. Guess what? Your vehicle's going to disappear. Okay, stop making payment on your house unless you're Miss Michelle and she just gets blessed with all kinds of checks and it just keeps, you know, you don't have to pay anything for Okay, all right. She's super blessed, I guess. All right. Lord, I would love to be that way. Come on, Jesus. I have heard so many times people coming to me and say, look what God blessed me with. It's a brand new car. I am blessed. So, wow. How much are your payments on that thing? It's just $1,500 a month. You only make $40,000 a year. $1,500 a month? It's my blessing. No. No, it's not. That's not your blessing. That's your noose that you're going to be hanging, that's going to be hanging around your neck for the next 8 years. Okay? I got a nice truck, but bless God, I got it. I have some, I got some support from my company to pay for that thing. I can't afford that thing by myself. Okay? That is my blessing out there. I'm going to tell you that. Okay? You cannot outgive God, man. But the thing is we got to use wisdom. You got to use wisdom. And we cannot give them. That's what's awesome to you is all this is, man, when we have the heart to give, man, God's going to bless and do. And as he's blessing, we've got to use wisdom with our finances. Pay stuff. Pay the debt off. Get out of debt. Fight tooth and nail. Get an extra job. Do whatever you need to do to get away from that, because that is being a slave to the lender. You want to be free. You want to have prosperity. Well, let's do what the word says. Stop doing what the world tells us to do. It's okay to have a credit card. It's okay to have 3 credit cards. It's okay to have 5 credit cards. No, it's really not. Okay? Amen. Conclusion. Money is one of the biggest factors of our lives. We use it for everything other than air. Unless you go to Colorado and you got to buy those little air oxygen tanks. Dad, when we buy the oxygen tank, because you can't breathe, it's altitude. Okay? As a Christian, our hearts have to be about others. Having a heart of what we can do for people. Praying for, giving to, speaking to others about Christ. Why do so many folks stop when it comes to money? Especially when God's promises are all throughout the word when it comes to our finances. Church, we have to stop listening to all this riffraff, all the social media, the YouTube, the talk tick stuff, all that garbage, okay? Everybody's going to have opinions, okay? Just read the word, what the word says about giving. Just do what the word says, okay? Take off the lenses when you're reading the word. Read what, unless you physically can't take them off. I heard that, Miss Liddy. Unless you can't fit, okay, all right. You know what? You stay back there, all right? I've heard so many opinions. Don't give tithes. You're stealing from God if you don't tithe. It's all over the map. God's word tells us how to prosper. You budget, you choose what you're going to give. Budget overall finances, tell your money where to go. It tells us the blessing that comes, the Bible tells us the blessing that comes from tithing. The Bible tells us the more we give, man, the more he gives back. I tell you, one of the biggest things I see happening with Texas Sand and Gravel is early on when we would, our regularly monthly come in, like what we'd bring in is $400,000 to $500,000 a month, okay, to take care of the company, take care of the provisions, take care of the employees and everything. And there wasn't a lot left over there, but yet every single month, anytime a pastor would call, guess what? Pastor calls, says, hey, how much for a couple loads of base? And then I'd ask him, well, is it a Baptist church or is it a Pentecostal church? Because it makes a difference. No, I'm kidding. I did that one time. They didn't laugh. They didn't laugh. I thought it was funny, but they didn't. Anyways, but then when I told them we were going to give it to them, they were happy. Okay. But we would do that, and we still do. We love to give to churches. We love to give to ministries. And guess what? Over the seasons, over the years, that little $500 went to $1 million a month. I think right now, Galen, we're what? Like $3 million a month right now. And guess what? We're not, Danny and Cherish aren't just giving those couple little loads of base now. They're giving thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to ministries. Because God's blessing and doing it. And that's what it is about. That's got to be what our hearts have got to be about. Is doing what God's word tells us to do. Is give. And line our lives up with his scripture. Giving isn't a church thing. It is not a legal thing. It is a heart thing. It's not about giving tithes or offerings to a church thing. It's about giving money, buying somebody's lunch. It's not just about this church. It's about giving buying somebody's lunch, giving somebody a $20 bill, giving them a $100 bill, blessing them. It's not just about here, Miss North. It's about out there every day, going and just giving some money, some cash, and blessing somebody for their food or groceries, buying somebody's groceries. But the word is so clear. Don't give out of pressure from a pastor or a prophet. Give what you decided in your heart already. If your heart posture is right, you're going to be looking for opportunities to give. If your heart posture is right, you're going to be diving into the word, how can I give more? And he's going to show you. Amen?
Amen.
I know that is the heart posture of so many in this church already. And again, I told you this. I'm not preaching this because we're low on funds, but I'm preaching this because we got to keep on our forefronts of God's promises on our lives. God does want us to prosper. And he does want us to live and have extra to be able to bless and do for others. Amen?
Amen.
I want to say this. It is a heart posture issue. Yeah. But I want to tell you that the finances and the heart posture, the finances is not at all what's the most important thing about being prosperous. That's just some things that we deal with here on this earth. See, prosperity is our heart posture to him. See, our heart posture is knowing, and prosperity is truly knowing and having peace when we pass away, well, we're going to be in heaven. That's prosperity. Come on, amen.
Bye.
See, true prosperity is having peace in the storms.
Yeah.
True prosperity is knowing and walking in grace and having life everlasting. That's true prosperity. And you know, that prosperity, it doesn't require anything from us. It's a free gift from God that he gives us. And all we've got to do, it does not say anywhere in the Bible to tell us that we have to tithe to receive that prosperity from Jesus. It's not about how much we give. It's not about how much we do. It's about us receiving that free grace and receiving Christ in our lives. See, that's true prosperity. But God gives us wisdom while we're here on earth with our finances. But see, that's a drop in the bucket. That's nothing compared to the hope that he gives us.
Amen.
See, that prosperity is about our heart posture with God. That true, true prosperity. So yeah, Miss North, I'm 1,000% a prosperity preacher. Because I know where my hope comes from. Doesn't come from any finances. See, my joy doesn't come from my bank account. My joy doesn't come from a vehicle. It comes from up above.
Amen.
And that right there was a free gift that God gave me. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for each and every one of us. That free gift of true prosperity. How about that? Isn't that cool? Do you want to live, man, in true prosperity? Guess what? Just talk to him. Get him in your heart and have that relationship with him. Amen? Come on, if you're watching online today, you're in here even, and you've never given your life to Christ, guess what? Today is a beautiful day to do it. To have that prosperity, Mary, in our hearts, knowing that when we lay our heads down, man, if that's our last breath, we know without a shadow of a doubt, that's prosperity. That's joy. That's peace. That's where it is at. It's not about a bank account. If you're sitting there thinking, if I only had $2,000, $10,000 in the bank, that's going to be joy. No, it's not. If I only had this, no, that's not going to be where the joy comes from. Joy is from Jesus Christ. And knowing without a shadow of a doubt, when we breathe our last breath, Miss North, I know where I'm going. That's prosperity. Come on, and if you've never given your life to Christ and you're watching online, all you've got to do is invite him in. It's a free gift. Totally free. That's what I love about that. It's grace, man. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We sure don't deserve it. But that grace is free to us. And all we do is invite him in and say, Lord, be my Lord and Savior. I need you. I want to be prosperous with you, Jesus. I need my life turned around. I've been chasing all kinds of things. And we all know those things. Man, you've been chasing money. It's going to lead down to nowhere. If you've been hoping and trying to get some extra money to make, that's just going to lead to nowhere. That's the main key is being prosperous with Jesus. That's where it's about. That's where our true hope comes from. That's where our true joy comes from. That's where peace that passes all understanding comes from, is when we accept Jesus in our lives and our personal Savior. Amen? I want to pray over everyone in here. I want to pray everyone that's online watching or maybe watching on down the road. I want to pray over you, and it's a free gift, and all you have to do is invite him into your life. I want to pray over you. Lord, I thank you right now, God, because true prosperity comes from you, Jesus, and what you did on the cross for us. The true prosperity, God, is hope in you, joy in you, peace in you. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I know that all it is just inviting you into our lives. So God, right now, I invite you into my life. I invite you to renew us today. I thank you for it, God. Change us, make us anew today. Refresh our spirits in this place, Lord. Wash us clean right now. Come on, anybody in this room has been dealing with some sin issues, Lord, I pray right now, I just want to encourage you to just go ahead and repent, ask for forgiveness. God, I repent, forgive me. Lord, I wash me clean today. I want to do it again today. I want to chase after you. I want to start fresh and experience you again for the very first time, Lord. Thank you for that free gift of grace. It's not a tithing thing. God, it's just a free gift that you gave in us, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, right now, as we're closing this service, I pray that you stir our spirits on giving, Lord. That in this time we're here on this earth, with the financial, with this physical money, Lord, that we are stewards over, God, that you blessed us with, that you gave us, Lord, that we're stewards over it, Lord. Lord, you stir our spirits to make sure we're doing it right and lining our finances up with what your word is saying. Not somebody's opinions, not somebody else's thing, but what your word says, Father. And Lord, in our hearts that we decide and choose to do what your word says, not giving out of compulsion, not giving reluctantly, but God giving it cheerfully and doing what your word says. Honoring you with our tithes, worshiping you with our tithes, giving you that honor, Lord. That's what your word says. And God, I thank you for the promise. With that obedience, getting and doing what your word says for us about tithing, Lord. I thank you for that promise that you gave us with that. Lord, I thank you for the promise that you gave us. When we give, you're going to give back. Lord, when we sow generously, God, we're going to reap generously. That's your promise, Lord, and I thank you for it, Lord. But God, I pray for the heart posture in this church. That our heart posture is right with you. And that we're chasing after you. That we're reading the word based on what your word says. Not anybody else's opinions, Lord. I thank you for it, God. We want to honor you with every aspect of our finances. I pray you guide each one of us, God. As we budget, as we look at our income, Lord, that we choose wisely and we do what your word says, Lord. We want to honor you with every single penny, God. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.